A lack of appropriate feedback leads to failure. There are at least three types of feedback you need to give your team to succeed. This week, we want to discuss the three types of feedback you should be giving to see your team excel this week on The Veterinary Viewfinder. To the Veterinary Viewfinder, the podcast that tackles the toughest topics in veterinary medicine. And a tough topic is giving ourselves and our staff feedback. I mean, we talk a lot about feedback and the importance of feedback and actually growing and progressing as a professional, but little time is spent on what we really mean. This week, we want to talk about at least three types of feedback that we feel every veterinary professional should both give and receive in order to be their best selves. But before we start talking about everybody's best versions of themselves, as always, I am whatever version I am right now of myself, Dr. Ernie Ward.
I'm registered veterinary technician, Becky Mosser.
And Becky, you know, a lot of times when we talk about feedback, I think people think of a very formal, structured event, like the classic performance evaluation. And that sometimes can be triggering and I think really misrepresents the real value and impact and really mechanism of feedback.
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting to me, though, because like it's something that's so important. It's such an important form of communication. And we spend so little time actually like learning how to do it right. And it's something I feel like we just kind of throw and see what sticks at the wall. And when it doesn't, it can go really bad.
Right. And Becky, let me just mention that throwing and going bad, because I think that's how most people receive feedback and literally give it. I mean, I've often described, you know, our management ethos in U.S. business. And again, I'll just speak to my own experiences. I would say it's screw it up, beat them up, right? I mean, when they make a mistake, we give them immediate feedback. We yell at them. We throw things. We say, how dare you? What in the world were you thinking, right? And that kind of feedback, I mean, look, it serves a purpose, I guess, but that's not going to really make the kind of lasting change in progress I think you want.
No, absolutely not. Well, and because to be fair, feedback can easily put somebody on the defense, right? And probably more frequently than not tends to put people on the defense. So if you come up to me, like if you said to me like, hey, I was listening to the podcast last week and you know, is it all right if I give you some feedback? I'm instantly going to go to, oh, geez, what did I do wrong? Or how? And you might actually say, you really nailed this thought. And I thought this was really great. And, you know, it may be a really positive thing. But if you just independently tell me feedback is coming or my brain says, hey, feedback is coming, I think most of the time we go to a defensive or kind of a panic place.
That's right. Yeah, I would argue that most veterinary professionals only receive feedback from their manager or owner when they're in trouble, just like you described, right? And again, yeah, but I want to be clear. That doesn't, I think sometimes people misinterpret what I'm saying. I don't think and I don't believe that you shouldn't give critical appraisals of someone's work or performance or their conduct, right? So there are times when it's appropriate to say, no, you did screw this up, right? But I think you have to pay close attention to how you deliver that type of feedback in particular, but really all types of feedback. Because again, if you can actually give proper feedback to an employee, that's gonna transform not only their work, but really their lives. I mean, that's how you make people better. But when you give poor feedback, when you poorly present feedback, I mean, that's gonna build resentment, right? They're gonna become an adversary of yours, and that's gonna totally destroy your team morale, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's goes back to something you said before we started recording, which is feedback can easily become criticism.
Right.
You know, there's synonyms for feedback depending on where it's coming from. It can also be praise. You know, it can also be encouragement. It can also be confidence builder. There's a lot of words that can be used in place of feedback or a lot of ways feedback can work. So we have an intention in our head when we start to try to give feedback to someone else. However, we don't necessarily know where their head is. We don't know where they're going to go with that. So we know the intent, but they might not automatically know it. So what's going to happen is you're going to go back to historical interactions. If you don't have a historical interaction with this individual, you're going to go back to your own personal experiences.
Right, right.
If you've had them with this individual, then you're going to go back to this place you've been in the past. So if normally they offer you feedback and it's really constructive and it's really helpful, you're like, oh, okay, I'm ready for this feedback. If, however, they embarrass you, they call you out in front of other people, they belittle or degrade you, or you walk away feeling like you've been given feedback that you don't know what to do with or how to do anything about it, well, then we've been given really ineffective feedback and we're going to avoid it in the future.
Yeah. And I really like that you mentioned that, because I think so many of our colleagues have this negative association with performance evaluations for that exact reason, right? Because they've only seen it as criticism. They only get feedback when they've screwed it up, right? Beat them up, screwed them up, screw it up, beat them up. And so suddenly now they go, oh, wow, anytime that word feedback pops up into my life, it's bad, you know? And so what I want to do today, Becky, is maybe reframe that definition and hopefully allow you some insight into providing better, accurate feedback. And so there are three ways that I look at feedback, Becky. And the first is going to be appreciation. The second type of feedback I want to talk about today is coaching. And then the third type of feedback that I think is invaluable to progress is evaluation. So Becky, let me start with appreciation, and I'd like to get your thoughts on where I think of it. I believe that appreciation is the foundation of all feedback that helps them learn and grow. What they really want to know and hear is that I appreciate you. You are doing a good job. I thank you for coming to work today, right? I mean, you know, like literally it's that elemental. It's like you appreciate my efforts, right? Now, viewfinders, remember, I mean, we're not saying you appreciate something. You don't then say, oh, Becky, you're doing a lousy job, but I'm going to fake it and tell you you're awesome. No. We're talking about genuine, authentic, truthful, appreciation of this. And, you know, Becky, this gets back to that thing you've heard me say countless times. And that is, you know, I go into most situations trying to catch someone doing something good. I'm looking for the good efforts, the good, you know, attitudes, conduct, performance in those folks around me, and then I'm going to reward it. So I believe that if you're looking for the good in folks, and when they do it, if you can immediately say, hey, Becky, great job with that podcast last week. I mean, I thought your voice sounded phenomenal. It was fire, you know. Then you're gonna say, okay, whatever I did last week, you're gonna reflect back on it and you're gonna do more of that. I mean, you sure I'm getting with the appreciation is really the foundation of all feedback. Because if you don't have appreciation, then every time they hear you open your mouth, they're thinking it's gonna be criticism and they're not gonna hear you the same way.
Well, okay, so absolutely, for sure. It's, you know, the thing that you did that was really important with the appreciation, and honestly with any of these, is it's not just saying the appreciation, it's being really specific,
right?
Great job on that podcast last week, this specific thing.
Your voice sounded great. Right. Yes, exactly. Details.
Yeah. And it falls into there's several models of feedback that we can get into and talk about, but I think sometimes we think, oh, I appreciate my staff. I tell them thank you before I walk out the door every day.
Right.
Okay. So eventually that just becomes like, thank you for, I say thank you to the lady that just checked me out at the grocery store too.
Right.
You know, it's transactional. I don't tell her, but if there's a specific thank you so much for bagging my eggs separate, that's really important to me, is a different thing. So I just think that when it comes, one of the things we have to be really careful about is being specific. And again, you've got situation, impact, behavior, different modules, but picking something very specific and not just a generalized umbrella, thank you, or I appreciate you, it doesn't have the same effect.
Right. Absolutely. And that's why, again, that catching someone doing something good, like there's a lot of intentionality with that statement. But then you're going, Gina, great job today, the way you handled Mrs. Smith. You know, she can be difficult at times, but you really, you know, I noticed that your body language was very relaxed. You were very open. You encouraged more questions. I mean, I really appreciate you going the extra mile with her today, because when she walked out of here, she was grinning ear to ear. Like, that is actionable feedback. That's positive feedback that actually encourages further behavior, right? Or future actions. And more importantly, Becky, what I like about that is not only does Gina in that situation learn what performance or whatever you expect, you know, what you think is good, but now everybody else around her knows that, right? They're like, that's what you want to do. And whether it's consciously stated or just something you absorb and process internally, I think that, again, it impacts the attitude of the workplace, that appreciation. When you know the boss, the manager truly appreciates and is noticing your efforts, that changes everything as far as the workplace environment.
I think so. And it builds trust, you know, right, it builds right. that culture. Again, we talk about the culture and then aren't totally specific. So again, this is a place you can say, all right, if I'm going to do 1% better at work and with my team, here's a 1% I'm going to pick. Today, I'm going to make sure every time I compliment someone or I show someone appreciation, I'm going to do it with this intent and see what the impact looks like. Watch their face, watch their facial expression. Because here's the thing. People want to get caught doing good too.
Right, right.
So when
exactly.
they know that there's a reward for it, like we are all just dogs and animals, behavior works the same, right? So when an animal knows they're going to get a reward for doing something good, they seek out and present a behavior of doing good. So we present these behaviors. And when appreciation doesn't happen or it's not specific and we don't know what exactly it is we did good, again, you're throwing things at the wall, see what sticks. Like, was it this that they liked? And then depending on how feedback comes in the negative sense, we may stop trying to do that because it's not worth it when you don't hit the nail. And that's part of the reason being specific is so important. This is the exact behavior that happened that was really positive.
Yeah. And right. And to take it one step back. So if you're a manager or an owner out there listening today, remember that our part of this is the recognition, right? The catching someone doing something good, right? So it's the recognition. The appreciation is the feedback that the employee receives, right? So that's a really critical distinction. I'm glad you pointed that out, Becky, because just like the dog, unless the dog knows what they did to get the treat or the reward, then they don't know to repeat that, right? And so that's really where it starts. All right, so Becky, the second part of feedback, I think, is one that, again, now people are a little more familiar with, and that is the coaching aspect. But I'll tell you right now, Becky, what transformed me as a young practice owner back in the day was the realization that I couldn't coach someone if they didn't trust me. And trusting begins with appreciation, recognition, all that stuff. You get where I'm going with this, right? Like very rarely would you take the advice of a coach, let's just in athletic terms or business terms, whatever, if you thought that, wow, they probably aren't doing things in my best interest, or they're not really trying to help me. Like, you have to trust that this person is trying to make you better. I mean, I think that's just foundational for coaching. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, right? Because you could coach me for your best interest.
Right, right. Know, and that's called manipulation, sure that, right? That's manipulation.
Yeah, absolutely, right. Like, great job, you know, convincing that client this is what they needed. Maybe they could have gone another 6 months, but we got to make our bills this month. I don't know. You know, just things like that. It's absolutely terrible. And I guess that's what I mean when I say feedback can actually really mean a lot of things. And I think intent is kind of the underlying specific around feedback is what is your intent. And there's a way, and then I think that goes back to your appreciation training, coaching, or evaluation is saying, what is the intent of my feedback? Is it to show appreciation? Is it to deliver a message to train them or coach them in a different way? Is it a way to provide an evaluation? Because like you said, it's not always going to be rainbows and unicorns, right? Like there's sometimes feedback needs to be not positive. So I think that that is sort of what it leans back into. And so I think feedback needs to be something that's planned and intentional.
Yes.
Now, obviously, you have an emergency come in or you have a patient crash under anesthesia and it doesn't die. And you're like, great work, team. Oh, my gosh, the way you did this and the thing you did that, that's spontaneous, impulsive feedback. That's great. Keep it up. But if things go wrong and you just all of a sudden want to start spouting off about them, I think planned feedback is going to benefit everybody more. And in opportunities where you can, then you have an opportunity to say, what am I trying to get out of this? Begin with the end in mind, ask the why, all the cliche things to make sure that you get the very most out of this, whatever direction you're trying to go.
Right, right. And again, I guess just to reframe it slightly for the viewfinders, Becky, is like I think of the recognition, appreciation, feedback loop, positive feedback loop as sort of that morale builder, identifying the things you did that are good. Now, I think of coaching as improving your skills or your abilities, right? So now now you did the thing with Mrs. Smith, and I praise you. You did a good job. But now the coaching, since you now see, I recognize, appreciate, right? We have a trust. I'm going to then be able to say, okay, let's talk about dealing with difficult clients and what happens when they do this or that, right? So that's where coaching, see, that's a different kind of feedback, because now I'm going to say, this is what you did in that exam room, and let's talk about how we can make it better, more efficient, you know, more effective. And I think that's really where coaching comes in. And, you know, I think a lot of times too, when the young veterinary, you know, out there, they go, I want mentorship. Well, there's two elements. Remember, mentorship is bilateral. So, you know, number one, you got to have this relationship that's trusted, but you then have to trust that the coaching is actually going to benefit you. So I find that a lot of times, you know, one of the parties doesn't hold up their end of the mentorship, and it's just abandoned. It's a waste of time for everybody. So you've got to really fully trust and commit to that process. So mentorship aside, when we talk about coaching, you know, this is where I want you to have your written training plans. This is really where staff training is based, right? It's actually in the coaching element, but it's built on that trust, recognition, appreciation. And I think that's why I want to tie them all together. And again, you know, Becky, if you're looking to be a better coach, if you will, this is where books really, you know, come in. You know, I mean, I think you can read a lot. There's some great leaders out there. You know, I'll never forget. I mean, one of the books, I mean, Roger Fisher, and look, if you probably aren't familiar with him because this was back in the 90s, but, you know, he wrote a couple of books. One of his famous books is called Getting to Yes. And Becky, I've talked about that on this podcast before, but, you know, again, you can go out and look at people's leadership and coaching styles. I think that's a learned skill. I don't think you could just have to sit back and go, I mean, there's a lot of school of hard knocks, a lot of benefits to that experience. Yeah. But, you know, the reality is if you're out there saying, you know, I want to know more and I want to do better, I'm going to tell you, start to find people like, you know, Fisher and others and say, hey, you know, can I learn from them?
Well, if you wanted to learn a new orthopedic skill, what would you do?
Exactly.
You know, yep. You would go and learn that skill. And what Great we forget point. Is these quote unquote soft skills or quote unquote, you know, life skills. You know, everybody has a different term that they like to call them. We don't focus on learning them with intent. We don't learn often. Now, I think we're getting better, right? And especially in the management department, we go to CE and we see how to give feedback as a lecture, you know, how to change your culture as a lecture. We see people sort of focusing on those areas, but they're never standing room only, you know, right. They're it's the least sought after, but it is a wild to me that we have this huge disconnect between what I would do if I wanted to learn a hard scientific skill and what I choose to do when I want to be better in some other area of my life. And that's a reason we talk about this stuff. And that's, I think, the reason people listen to this stuff is because it does matter and they know it matters and it's harder to come by. And so if we can have a 30-minute conversation that drops a few knowledge bombs that people can say, like, yeah, I can go back and do this, or even potentially you're an employee who could give your employer a feedback on giving feedback. Like, hey, I don't feel like I'm getting as much out of your feedback as I could. And I listened to this podcast and I was hoping in the future we could be really more specific, or we can make an action plan or whatever it is. So, you know, it works both ways. You can take this into how you give feedback, but you can also take it into how you receive it. And so if somebody's coming to you and giving you feedback, you can ask follow-up questions to say, can you name something specific? What would I have done instead? What could have been even better?
Right. And again, Becky, I love what you said. Most of these quote unquote mentorships out there are really poorly defined. They don't have any structure or process, right? I mean, they're just kind of winging it out there. And ultimately, they don't create the results or value or benefits that they were hoping to, right? Because it was just like, okay, yeah, I'll be your mentor. What does that even mean? Like you said, and this is where, again, coaching for me, that's the staff training. These are the written plans. Like, this is the making you better. And this is the reading the orthopedic books. And I love what you also said about if you want to learn a new orthopedic procedure, you'd go and read the latest book or go to see a lecture. And that's why I do say, you know, when you're going to take advice on these types of skills, and I do believe they are skills, then you want to take advice from someone who is more successful than you in that area. This goes to everything. And Becky, there are a lot of quote unquote leadership experts, coaches that have maybe questionable credentials. You know, I really want people that have been there, done that, owned a clinic, managed a business. I mean, you know, because otherwise I think, you know, it's kind of like taking that advice from the orthopedic surgeon. It's like, have you ever done this surgery? Well, no, I mean, but I read about it. I want to talk to the guy to the lady who's done 100 of them, you know, and has developed it or whatever. You know what I'm saying, Becky? I mean, maybe I'm just old school, but I do worry sometimes about the advice that's out there, particularly in a young profession like vet medicine. You know, let's face it, guys, you know, we don't have the legacy of human medicine. I mean, that's, you know, long established. I mean, we're still the whippersnappers here. And I want us to make sure we're really focusing on folks that been there, done that, you know, crucible, and they came out the other side stronger.
Sure. And, you know, I think that however you get it, wherever you get it, just like anything else, be critical, right? Is this good information? Where did it come from? Because we're not inventing this stuff. You know what I mean? It comes from places of experience. And, you know, when you learn better, you do better. So, and I think this is an area where you can coach interpersonally between each other. So when you see somebody around you giving feedback to someone else, you can sort of critically evaluate. I hate to be so meta, you know, but no. to critically evaluate their feedback and to help kind of everyone in your clinic find a better way of communicating that enhances everybody's experience. You know, it just isn't a matter of a poop sandwich. You know, that's right, it's just right, not a thing. Right.
Well, we're about to get to the poop sandwich, the evaluation part. But you know,
Becky, right? And if that's how you're giving it to them,
right,
that and that's how you know to give feedback, you're not doing it right.
I 100%. And so again, you know, if you find us, remember there are infinite number of ways to appreciate, recognize, and coach folks, right? So we're just giving you the broad strokes, but you do have to find something that matches well with your personality, your clinic needs, you know, the personality of your folks. I mean, so there's not just the one size fits all, but I do think where we fall short is we just don't ever have a structure. Like, we don't give this any thought, like Becky said, and suddenly we wonder why our mentorships are failing and why people hate getting performance evaluations and it's only a raise, which leads us to the last part, and that's the evaluation. So we've talked about our part is the recognition, then we give the truthful, genuine appreciation. We then have coaching, which is designed to make you better in a specific skill or task or some attribute of your performance, right? And that's typically going to be with staff training, sit-down one-on-ones, let's review, all that kind of stuff. But then the last one is the classic evaluation. And that's really, for me, evaluation is feedback that tells us, you know, it tells the staff member whether or not they're on track and what their performance is like against maybe benchmarks or my own personal expectations as an owner or manager. And I think that again, these routine performance evaluations, most people would say my annual eval, that's that type of feedback. But Becky, before we get into the annual eval, I also want to make a case that sometimes these one-off evaluations, like you mentioned earlier, during like post a traumatic, you know, event, right? So there was this wild emergency. I mean, I believe that there's real value in an evaluation of that sort of scenario. Do you get what I'm going at? There's one-offs.
Sure, like a debrief, right?
Yeah,
this
exactly.
Situation happened. We're going to talk about it. But and let me say, debrief is level 4 feedback. So if you're not good at level 1 feedback, you're not in charge of that debrief.
Great
because
point.
You
Great
need
point.
To know how to immediately do a really good job at feedback. It needs to be second nature to give feedback in an effective manner if you're going to do it that quickly, because you've got to have the muscle, mind, memory. Otherwise, you run the risk of really trotting all over everybody unintentionally.
Right. You get back to the screw it up, beat them up, right? Because that's what most people are going to do in that situation. So even if they had a successful outcome of that emergency, let's just stay there, Becky, because that was a good example. Most likely, if you're not sort of intentional and experienced or at least thoughtful, you're going to focus on the things you didn't do well. And that may not be the right time, right? I mean, that immediate... And let's say that you actually saved the dog's life during that post-trauma euphoria. Maybe that's not the right time to always be so brutally honest. You know what I'm saying, Becky? I mean, you know, sometimes it's the right time to give the high fives and then later to go the real critical. But getting back to this immediate evaluation, I think that for me, one of the ways I've led this, so let's say again, back to that emergency, Becky, I would turn to my team and say, hey guys, okay, listen, you know, obviously we just had this thing happen, you know, this this cardiac arrest of this dog that came in, or impalement, or whatever it might be. How do you guys think it went? Like, honestly, as a leader, sometimes that's the best thing you can do, is to say, let me hear your take on it.
So, yes, in my experience with this, again, in management, this is another quicksand.
Can be, yep.
And you got to be really careful. The reason I say that is because if you already have an answer to that question, it implies that there is a correct answer. So when you ask your team, how do you think that went? You need to be ready to listen. You need to not have already formed your own opinion and are either looking for them to agree, or ready to solid follow up everybody talking with what your opinion is as fact.
Right.
Because this is another area where you can get people to lose trust or build trust. So big red star on these types of questions, because I want to ask, what did you think went well? Where could we have improved? What are your thoughts of it? What are your perceptions? So that I get to see what I didn't see because you saw it and it was a different view for you.
Yeah.
But it is such a careful area, because it is a place where a toxic environment creates an unsafe place to answer that question.
I love that. So, and you're absolutely right. It's dependent on your team and where you are. I think, Becky, just to follow up on what you said, it is really important not to make an employee or the team feel like the villain, right? In these little on the spots, right. You know, because if you focus and you frame it as what they did wrong, then, oh boy, problems, big problems, right? But if you can focus and frame it on how the group or the two of you or whatever it was can explore options to make it better, then that actually probably has the value, right? Because the evaluation is supposed to say, how can we make it better, right? Okay, it worked this time, or it didn't work this time. How can we make it better? And so I love what you said, Becky. You have to be careful. Just don't make the other party the villain. And I think that often comes, like you said, with a sort of a predetermined conclusion. You know, you as the manager, the owner, the team leader say, you know what, I'm going to ask this question, but it's more of a rhetorical question. Well, now you're back in lecture mode, and I don't think it's valuable. So you're going to have to figure out where your team is, where you are as a leader. I do think it can work. I know it worked for me, especially when I would say, is there anything I could have done to help out more? You know, I know these are difficult appointments or difficult cases. You know, what can I do? Sometimes even asking it that way from the leader's perspective kind of puts you more back in that servant role, if that makes sense.
Sure. And it gives you an opportunity to create vulnerability, safe space, psychological safety, all of that, right? You can say, I understaffed this afternoon because historically we are really quiet, and clearly that was to our detriment. I learned today. Right. Something to that effect, right? Because then you're kind of leading with it. But I want to say the other thing too, is when these conversations start to look for bad, like to say, this is what went bad, this is what went wrong, and the focus is really on that or criticism, your team starts to look for bad. And that's part of just avoiding anxiety, right? Like, okay, I want to know what I'm about to hear I did wrong, because nobody wants to be blindsided with it. I think it's part of why we're so critical. Like, if we say we didn't do a good job, then nobody else gets to say we didn't do a good job. We already owned that space. Right. So we start to look for, you know, oh, this was bad, this was good. When we're looking for the positive, you know, just like in these team rumbles, let's start with the day with good. What was the best part of yesterday? We end the day and start the day thinking about what went right. And it sounds like woo-woo and whatever, but like it works. That's why affirmations are a thing, because your brain starts to go that direction.
Yeah, tilting towards optimism, guys. Look it up. I love some of my favorite articles and videos I've ever made. Becky, as we kind of wrap up today's conversation, you know, again, when it comes to evaluation, the other thing I would encourage you, especially this is more of a one-on-one with a trusted, experienced team member. So I'm going to say there's a bit of a threshold here about who I would have this, but you know, talk to them about what kind of evaluations they think works for them, right? I mean, I do think it's important to understand that we all learn different ways, we all receive feedback different ways, we all act on feedback different ways. So if you can, if you've got that trusted employee, you know, that Becky in your life, so to speak, you know, I think you can develop a rapport and trust level where you can say, Becky, you know, listen, I really want to make sure that I'm delivering evaluation, you know, and feedback in the best way possible. You know, do you have any thoughts on how I can do this better? And I think, Becky, you know, that takes a while to develop that rapport. But, you know, that to me, that's what, I mean, literally over the years, we just had those folks in our clinics and we would, you know, act on what they said. I mean, it doesn't mean we changed everything radically overnight, but, you know, we would start to listen to those trends, those themes that we heard, you know, I think it needs to be shorter. I need more details, or I don't like the 1 to 5 scale, right? I mean, those kind of things. And then we would kind of start to nudge it in that direction. But I really think listening to your team, asking your team is beneficial.
Yeah, I think you're right, because just like a love language, you know, how do you receive feedback best is a good question to ask somebody. And then what? Do you want to receive feedback and then meet the next day? Do you want to, you know, address it right then and talk it through? How does this work best for you? Because everybody's going to be different. And again, I think you're just sort of offering people the space to be different and to receive it different ways. And the evaluation, I think we've done a podcast on this. If not, we should, because the evaluation is a podcast in itself. There should be no surprises. It should be a time to work on employee goals. It should be a time to focus on what's going on with the employee and their performance and anything that needs to be improved or changed. This should be a daily conversation as part of this feedback. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to know that they're just going to find out they've been working really hard and not hitting the mark.
Yeah, again, that I couldn't agree more. You should already know where you are, how you're on track, how you're matching up with expectations. But, you know, again, if you need it, you really do need these formal evals. And Becky, the other thing too, just one thing I want to leave the viewfinders with, because I have had vets sort of, you know, I think misunderstand when I would say, hey, you know what? Because I literally almost every answer I ever say is, let's ask our team, you know, like let's involve them in the answer, right? Instead of me just dictating it to them. But this doesn't mean that we then have a set of performance evaluations for every member, right? Oh, well, Becky wants to be evaluated this way and Susie wants, no. What I'm doing is I'm listening to the tonality, right? What are the themes? What are the things? Because, you know, what I'm trying to find out is how can I be a better leader, or in this case, giving you better feedback? And I'm going to get some certain common denominators, right? They're going to say, oh, it's too much, it's too little, it needs to be this or that. And I'm going to kind of, you know, mash those together into an amalgam of change, right? But it's not going to be, you know, again, I'm not going to say, oh, well, Becky gets evaluated this way. This is Susie's form. We have to use Susie's form, you know, because she told us she liked a 1 to 6 scale and Becky likes a 1 to 8. No. It's not that granular. I'm not saying there's not opportunity for that. And who knows in the future with technology, but you know what I'm saying, Becky, it's really paying attention, listening, and then sort of gauging the mood and then doing your best to kind of move in the direction that most folks seem to want or need.
Yeah. And I think it comes just literally down to the golden rule. Like, is it how you would want it? Is it, would you want somebody to try to give you feedback in a way that you best managed it? You know, it isn't any of those things, like you said, having a form for everybody. It's having the same form and the same thing for everybody, but saying, you know, Susie is going to do best if I meet with her for 10 minutes, give her the paperwork on Monday. And then Tuesday we have our follow-up 30 minutes for the rest of the evaluation because she's had time to think about it and that's what works best for her or whatever the crap, you know? Right. So there's just, it's a matter of that. And if it is all too woo-woo and it is all too much and you don't want to put in that much work to make your employees feel great, then you are one of those people creating the bad cultures, right? If it isn't important to you to learn to give effective feedback, then you're probably contributing to negative cultures. If it's interesting to you and it's exciting to you to be able to do better by your people, then you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, what's funny, Becky, is I think we ended up right back at the beginning where literally me saying and you saying, hey, you know what? You probably should gauge what their needs are, how they're feeling about these certain things. We're right back at the recognition appreciation, because ultimately what folks want is to say, you know what? They're actually interested in my opinion on how they give feedback. Like, that is empowering. Yeah. And that really, that actually, you know, means that, you know what? You have a say in the direction of your work. Workplace, and I think that is very valuable. Well, Becky, I'd like
autonomy,
love it. I mean, come on, give people some sense of ownership, you know, literally in their employment. Well, I'd love to hear what the viewfinders have to say about feedback. Do you guys have a feedback process? Do you think about it? Do you think about, hey, there should be recognition, appreciation, there should be coaching, there should be evaluations, you know? Do you have written coaching programs, training programs? You know, do you ask your employees? I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. Becky, how can they share some of their thoughts on this with us?
Well, give us your specific feedback at Facebook and Instagram at Veterinary Viewfinder, and you can email me over at veterinaryviewfinder@gmail.com.
That's right, guys. Stay safe, give feedback, and be nice to each other. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.